Scriptures tonight are Psalms 86, verses 1 to 7, and Ephesians 4, verses 29 to 5, verse 2. There you go. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I will call to you because you answer me. And then Ephesians 4, verses 29 to 5, verse 2. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
As I said earlier, it is good to be back with you. I don't know if you're new here or not, but I've been kind of helping to fill in this space a little bit over the last few months. And my name's Rob Holland, and I'm the pastor at the Bergen Church. Maybe, because we all are of a certain age, we've just forgotten who I am. So that's okay, too. That's just a reminder. Now you're like, oh, that guy looked familiar, but I couldn't remember his name. Well, there you go. And if you can't remember it, anyway, don't worry about it. Just say something and I'll usually answer it. And so now where's Bill? Bill, you made a request for Blue Brana. You know, and if you want to raise $100,000, have I got a horse for you? Because you ride this horse bareback up and down mountains, it'll be worth $100,000. So talk to me afterwards. Let's just say it's more like riding a post pounder than anything. But it is good to be with you. And last time I spoke to you was, I think, the beginning, either the end of June or beginning of July. And at that point in time, I was getting ready for a little adventure in my life. My daughter and I were heading up the Dempster Highway, or up to the Dempster Highway, and then all the way to Tuktoyaktuk and back. So it was a long 9,000 kilometers, let me just put it that way. But my daughter and I never had one fight, although she did tell me to do a couple things on the long way. And being the firstborn that she is, she had to speak her mind. So that was good. But we got to see incredible things. And we got her up to the Arctic Ocean, and she was able to dive into the Arctic Ocean. She said it's not as cold as some of the lakes up in Kananaskis. So that was good to know. By the sounds of it, I didn't go in. You're right. And I did dip my hand in I didn't put my toe, I put my hand in it. I'd been up there before, so it wasn't completely new to me, but there was one point in time, like we didn't have too many wild and crazy adventures, but there was a moment there where she's out and she was taking some pictures. Now suddenly I hear this dad, and I'm thinking it to myself, oh, can't these kids just leave me alone for a second? I was off doing my own exploring, so I say yes, and she goes, I lost my phone, and it had fallen in the water. And I'm like, my first response was going to be, oh, thank the Lord for his spirit. I was going to say, why did you have your camera in a perilous situation? But the Lord just zipped my mouth there. And all I said was, what? And I went over and she told me, and my heart just broke for her because I knew just the heaviness of that. And she knew where it fell in. And so I said, okay, just a second, I'll come and help you. And I'm heading up to the van to go get changed. And I'm like, oh Lord, please help her find her. And she said, Dad, I found it. And I was like, thank you, Lord, she found her phone, and thank you, I don't have to go swimming. So it was all good. But that was our little Tuktoyaktuk adventure, and it was great, and we got to see lots and lots of country, and we caught a few fish, only had one little incident with a tire, but that didn't even slow us down that much. But after that, she said, you were driving a little bit fast. So anyway, slowed me down and just to keep her happy, and it was all good. It was all good. But we did go up the Dempster Highway, and it's this incredible thing, because really, when you read about Arctic adventure, there are no roads to speak of. As you read some of our early history, and it's not even that early, like in the 1920s, they were still, like 100 years ago, they were still, the roads were the highway, or the rivers. And they had steamships, like or paddle wheelers, that went from Whitehorse up to Dawson and then back. And it was this incredible adventure. And I was reading about some of the people that would journey on those roads. The one time Dawson City was one of, I think, the second biggest city in all of Canada. And it was one of the wealthiest places in Canada because of the gold and all the activity up there. I mean, it's not like that anymore. It's a kind of a desolate little place right now. But it's incredible stuff. And then back in the 50s, they decided they were going to build this highway up to Inuvik because it was all attached to the oil and gas, and they thought they were just going to, it was going to make all this sense. And now, and then they were going to hopefully parallel a pipeline down beside the highway. I am so thankful they didn't do that, because right now they've, in their all their wisdom, the government of Canada is stringing a fiber optic cable all the way from Dawson all the way to Tuktoyaktuk beside that highway. And they're having trouble now as they dig into the permafrost to bury the line. It's causing erosion problems, and it's just this big. And I think, what would a pipeline have done up there? Anyway, they didn't build a pipeline right there, but it's this road that traverses some of the most incredibly beautiful wilderness. And it really is this little gravel road. It's just a little bigger than our forestry trunk road out to the west here. And then when they hit Inuvik, then in the 90s, or in the 2017, they completed the highway up to Tuktoyaktuk, so it'd be easier to have a presence in the Arctic. And of course, it's all about sovereignty, and it's kind of funny because there's different things that happen along the way. So as you drive through the Yukon portion of this highway, it's kind of a hard-packed road, some potholes that will kind of eat you up if you're not careful. But then you hit the Northwest Territories border, and they have a gravel budget that is tremendous, because instead of gravel being that thick, it's thick. And I felt so bad for the people that were riding bicycles, because they'd get to Northwest Territories and it was just like riding in oatmeal. I mean, it was just slow and dusty, and you didn't see very many happy bicyclists, I can tell you that. You just sort of saw them wandering down the road and just slugging it through. But the other group of people that were up there that I found interesting, because really, I mean, as you're traveling along there, I mean, you're not stopping in too many places. It's not super busy, but it's a constant traffic. But you get to meet people from all over the world, really. I mean, we've met people from Germany, and then a lot of Americans come up and to just complete, well, they go up to the Alaska Highway, and then they just go up to Tuk. And I mean, it was amazing. All these people and just their spirit of adventure. But we met a pile of motorcyclists, because this is really a motorcyclist, something that they can do, a real check mark in their checklist of things to do in their life. And it was interesting how we ran into two different groups. So one group was the "This is awesome" group. I'll just put them there. They were the happy bikers. They were the ones with the bugs in their teeth because they were smiling the whole way, right? And they were excited about being up there. We ran into one young fella in Tuktoyaktuk. We camped next to him. His name was, he is what you would call just when you think of somebody from Montana, this young guy, blonde hair, blue eyes, and his name was Bo. And I'm like, You can't ask for a more American kind of kid. But he was the nicest kid. And he was just, and we would listen, I mean, because you're just up there, and he's in the campground right next to us. And he's calling back to his buddies at home. He's saying, "This is the best thing ever. This is the best dirt riding I have ever experienced in my life. This is like," I think it was like 1,400 kilometers of gravel. And he was just taking it in, soaking it in, and just thinking this was the best thing ever. And I was really thrilled with just his enthusiasm and what he saw and experienced along the way. He got out there and he was just floating in the ocean for a while, and he was just excited about everything he did. Now, that's your one biker. On the other hand, we ran into another group of bikers from the States as well. But none of them were Bo. But they were older guys, like kind of my age. And this one guy, I don't think he enjoyed one inch of the Dempster Highway. If it wasn't for the lack of gravel or the wrong kind of gravel or the potholes or there's too much gravel or it was too flat or it was too hill, there he went on. I mean, Bo I had time for. This guy just sort of going to grab me in a campground, and I tried getting away a few times, but I couldn't quite get away fast enough. And he was just telling me about how horrible it was. Here are two different guys driving on the same road that really, in a lot of ways, was put through, well, it was long before any of them were alive, and they got to benefit from it, and yet one could see nothing positive about that experience, and the other one was just thrilled for the opportunity to do this. And this Bo was inviting his friends, like, you gotta come and do this. And this other guy didn't want to have anything to do with it. And it was really quite an interesting thing. And so you see that in both instances they're driving down the same road we came down, and they were just two different kinds of people. And you know, that's kind of the way that Paul tries to walk with us through Ephesians. Before I get to Ephesians, you might wonder why I read Psalm 86 read today. And as I read that, I thought, you know, here's a plea from this author that says, Lord, help me. I'm your faithful servant, but I need your help. I need your guidance, and I need your direction. And I thought, how appropriate it is as we enter into this little piece of scripture in Ephesians to remember that the only way that we're ever going to accomplish that is by appealing to God to say, help us as we travel down this road. Be with us.